I'm joined by barrister Aileen Hickey. Hi, Aileen.
Hi, Mario.
How are you?
I'm great.
Good. And I'm joined by financial planner Owen McGee. And you're both welcome to the Sunday Roast. Aileen, this is what you're throwing into Mario's Sunday Roast first. Here's Exhibit A.
I read a letter in the paper the other day. I can't remember who wrote it, but they pointed out that Finland, a similar sized country to ours, has many orchestras. We only have two. And people would know in the past that the army had bands and orchestras, doesn't anymore. So we have only two at the moment, and I, for one, would certainly like to see both retained, and I want to see both prospering. So I will ask the two ministers who have some line responsibility for this to come together to examine the issue.
Here's Exhibit B.
But let me, Mr. Speaker, let me be very fair to the Right Honourable Gentleman. I followed very carefully his interview on Desert Island Discs, and I think it's fair to say he's no longer a follower of Marx. He's loving Engels instead.
Response to that question, the Prime Minister has finished, and he can take it from me that he's finished.
We've got a new hand gesture from the Shadow Chancellor. Yes. I would have gone. I would have thought after today's briefing in the papers, the hand gesture for the Shadow Chancellor should be bye-bye. You don't need it to be Christmas to know when you're sitting next to a turkey.
Okay, very good. So, Aileen, what are you throwing into the roast?
I'm throwing in just what you heard there.
Yeah.
So it's the Doyle, but it's not the Doyle. It's the dull debates that,
yeah,
that we're used to listening to as compared to the crack of the House of Commons parliamentary debates as we heard this week and you know, and before now. So it's all the jeering and it's the whole theatre of it. And, you know, it's total pantomime. And, you know, it literally is to the extent of, you know, he's behind you. Almost, you know, in that, you know, they're shouting, they're jeering, they're honking. And then there's the star of the show, who's John Bercow, who seemingly isn't that pleasant a personality, but, you know, he's great crack, and it's the whole, you know, calling of the Jeremy Corbyn and all that carry on. And then there was all the crack this week, but they've a thing called the ceremonial mace, which is a 5-foot silver gilt kind of big orby kind of thing on a stick.
Yeah.
It represents the Queen's authority. So seemingly you can't pass laws or anything in the House of Commons unless the mace is present. And on Monday of this week, a fellow called Lloyd Russell Moyles, and again, like, listen to the names, like, the names by themselves are
right.
So brilliant, tried to remove the mace, and he was thrown out because, you know...
Actually, we have a clip of that, actually.
Oh,
here it is now.
I think, David, debate to be resumed. What then? Put it back. No. Order. No.
Yeah, that's him. Order.
Yeah.
Order.
And then we have the Ceann Comhairle, Seán Fhorúil, who, you know, I'm sure is a great fellow and all the rest of it. And then you look into our Dáil and the chamber's half empty, and there's not just TDs, but there's ministers nodding off. At times, they've actually had to close up early because they didn't have enough legislation to debate. And, you know, so really, I mean, apart from the Healy Rays, who kind of do keep it interesting, so there was, you know, the big row that Danny Healy Ray had was it Michael Healy Ray? Michael Healy Ray had a big ding-dong about speakers' rights because, you know, they do more speaking than the rest of them. And then there was Danny Healy Ray, who brought in, I think it was 17th century weather as a backup theory for why there's no such thing as man-made climate.
But what's your point,
change?
Aileen? Are you saying it's just more crack?
Our Dáil is less crack, which is why I think, you know, when I don't know if you can watch Oireachtas Report anymore, but I think they used to say Oireachtas Report was what solved it for insomniacs because, you know, a couple of minutes of that and you were gone.
What I say about that is I completely get the point. I understand that it's more entertaining to watch the UK and other Dáils around the world, But your solution can't be the Healy Rays. I'm sorry.
But my solution isn't the Healy Rays, but overall, it has to be entertaining. I mean, while it's, you know, obviously you want them to get the work done, but it also has to be entertaining.
I'm with you on it. I'm not disagreeing, which I won't go that hard.
I think Owen is worried that you're actually saying more Healy Rays is the solution.
I'm actually saying more Healy Rays, and I also think we need a big St. Patrick's.
Okay, but you know, there's another Healy Ray coming now, Jackie Jr. So he's
great.
They're cloning them down in a warehouse down in Kerry. So he's got a cap and everything. So he's coming. He's going for councillor.
Yeah, yeah. So the cap industry is doing well as
well. Yeah. So you want more?
I want more Healy Rays, and I want more kind of more. I want something like a St. Patrick's staff or a Celtic cross that we can bring in to the Dáil, which would represent the authority of Michael T. Higgins or Brian Boru or something.
Sorry,
that we can't pass
actually, that's a good question.
It.
That's a good question, actually. What could we use in Ireland as our ceremonial mace?
I think like a St. Patrick's staff. Okay. Or
well, actually, that's a good one. 087.
Or,
we'll actually ask the listeners to do something for us here. 087-4100-102. What could we use instead of a ceremonial mace in Ireland? But anyway, go on.
I would just... the mace sounds like a great idea, ceremony, and it would be good crack to see lads robbing it and running out just to liven it up. I completely agree with you, like the Oireachtas.
But is Mick Wallace not entertaining for you, Aileen?
What's going on here, Claire?
Is he not entertaining?
He is entertaining.
He's really not entertaining.
I was very entertained the night that Tom Barry pulled Anya Collins onto his lap. You know, and there have been their moments.
Was Michael Noonan not entertaining?
I'm not sure.
Was Michael Noonan not entertaining, wasn't he?
Yeah.
No, with his little analogies.
Yeah.
You remind me of a Wibbly Wobbly Wonder. No?
What about Willie O'Dea? Is she not entertaining for you? You don't like him?
Yeah. Do you know what?
Have a lot of entertaining TDs.
We could just get you to move from seat to seat.
Yeah. Well, I think what you're saying is they have more ceremony in the House of Commons.
Well, I think it's ceremony and it's theatre and it's pantomime and it's, you know, it's all, you know, even referring to their Right Honourable Members by their constituency names. But like here, that would be like saying the TD from, you know, North East Cork. Rather than, you know, fancy kind of constituency names like they've over there.
Patrick heard you mentioning the Healy Rays, so I think he dredged up quickly a Healy Ray clip here as well.
Deputy McSherry, control yourself.
That sounds like an aviary. It really does sound like
It is brilliant,
but,
isn't it?
But one of the things I think is that the House of Commons one, they seem to enjoy the spirit of debate more back and forth. So I say something, you say something witty, I say something witty, you say something witty.
Yeah, it's all very clever. I mean, and here they have supplied scripts that are not clever. I mean, they're just bog standard facts, kind of.
I'm not suggesting that we get lots done in our Dáil, but does it prohibit them getting anything done in
Parliament? Well, you could actually say, we probably do get a lot more done. At least our politicians, I suppose, on the more serious side, seem to know what they actually stand for or what they're, you know, what they like and what they don't like, as opposed to, you know, the kind of the zombie Parliament that's operating over there.
Right, 087-4100-102. Should we have more crack in our Dáil or less crack in our Dáil? And if there's anything that could replace the ceremonial mace, give us a go. Okay, Owen, what are you throwing into the roast?
So, back in May this year, I banged my head. I fell, cracked my skull in two places, massive brain bleed, emergency surgery, and it was tough going, touch and go, tough going on probably more for my family than it was for me in terms of they went through it. I didn't know what was going on and had surgery, emergency surgery in Beaumont, and it has changed lots of things for me. But one of the things that's changed is this means that this is my first Christmas in a very long time without drink. I'm not drinking this Christmas. And what I'm finding really interesting, I'm not a teetotaler. I really enjoy a pint. I really enjoy going out and enjoying myself. And it's kind of strange this year. Now, technically, I could drink if I want, but I just can't. The headaches are too bad and I'm kind of, it's not right for me at the moment. So I'm not drinking. And what I'm finding really strange is you go out and you're in a pub in the evening, and particularly like you're in a pub, anyway, it doesn't matter, particularly at the moment, there's so many events to go to, and you're out at these things. Will you have a drink? No, I'm grand, thanks. Go on, have a drink. No, I'm okay. What's wrong with you? Have a drink. I can't medically. And it's kind of like, all right, right. And then it's okay that you're not drinking. But before that, you were completely weird that you weren't drinking. And what is wrong with you? Is your arm about to fall off your head a bit? Well, like, they just don't get it. But as soon as you have a valid reason. So I was actually talking to somebody yesterday about this, and they were saying, she was a female, and she was saying, oh yeah, the first thing is, oh, you're pregnant. Or or if you're driving now is acceptable as well.
Yeah.
Now, thankfully, nobody's asking me if I'm pregnant, right? And so I'm getting away with that one. But I am being like, once there's a medical reason, it's fine. But you know what else is really strange? As I said at the start, I enjoy a pint. I am not a teetotaler. But I'm finding I'm going out. I get to have a few, have the crack with the lads. I enjoy it. I come home. I get to drop them home. And then the next morning, I get up and I go to work. And I'm talking to them that evening. And they are, oh, sat on the couch, had a Chinese, not doing that again. And I'm not sure they got more out of the evening than I did. Do you know? So when
the only problem for you though is on you, every year now you're going to have to use the brain surgery
just to be normal.
So you go, so you go on. So Heineken, Carlsberg, and on. No, I'm grand. Sorry, are you saying you had brain surgery again? So because no, when I because I don't think you're right actually, because medical excuses aren't always valid. So for example, one time I tried it. I said, I'm not going to have a drink. And somebody said, what? What's going on? And I went, antibiotics. And they went, oh, which ones, though?
Yeah.
And I went, what do you mean, which ones? Well, you can drink on some.
Yeah.
And I went, well, not on these ones. Well, you can have 2 pints. I mean, and I went, yeah, but there was, I was told not to. Don't mind them. What did they know, those GPs? So basically, you're saying that the only, I'm surprised they didn't just say to you, you said brain surgery, and they didn't go, yeah, shots then.
I have a client, funny enough, I have a client who works for one of the large beer manufacturers, right? And he says, and what are the symptoms? I said, I have headache and actually I feel rotten on kind of midday in the day. And he goes, should drink anyway then. What difference does it make? You have a hangover anyway, you might as well. Right. That's what he said. And it is, you do kind of have a hangover in the mornings anyway. And but one of the other things that you do learn is, I think that hangovers, probably 70-80% of them are tiredness as opposed to drink. Because I still have the tiredness, and I don't have, I haven't had the drink, but I still feel, now it's kind of muddled up for me at the moment. It'll get more normal. Yeah. But I'm just kind of going, what's going to be the thing that would say, let's go back on the drink now? Do you know what I mean?
Aileen, how do you feel about going out with somebody who's sober in your group?
Now, I wouldn't be good at this. I have to say I'm one of the worst offenders in terms of asking inappropriate and personal questions and not respecting people's right. You know, I suppose I've always had this kind of attitude that people who don't drink by choice, it's kind of like they're drunk on virtue. And it kind of, you know, it kind of drives me over the edge. And
do
actually,
you trust people who don't drink?
Not really. And it's a terrible thing to admit, but I don't. And my own husband, Matt, is a bit of a devil in that the majority of the time these days, he decides not to drink. Now, he will at the odd time and he'll surprise you. So, you know, it's not that he doesn't drink at all, but for the majority of the time, he doesn't drink.
But he's a bit self-righteous about the drinking, though, isn't he?
Well,
he kind of goes,
I'm going to
let you say the word self-righteous rather than myself.
Yeah,
you know,
I've often said to Matt,
drunk and virtue thing, I told you that.
Well, I've often said to Matt, like, so you go and you have a few pints tonight. No, I don't drink at all. And he looks at you with that cork way with the lips half closed. I don't drink at all. I mean, Matt, you do drink.
Yeah.
And then suddenly he'll decide 6 months later,
I was on the tear last night.
Yeah.
And you go, so I thought you said you don't drink.
I never said that.
Yeah. So it's kind of infuriating. And I've actually given him a very hard time over the years. Now, I've kind of stopped now, and now I just kind of drink his quantity and my own quantity, and I just get over it.
Yeah.
And but, you know, I suppose I've kind of tried to push drink on him. Now, we were out on Friday night and he wasn't drinking. And I heard a number of people saying to him, will I just throw a shot into that for you? That'd be all right, I'm not drinking. So but if you throw a shot in and I don't notice it, that'll be fine.
Are you saying, like, people are spiking your drinks? Or Matt's drinks, was it?
Well, they were certainly attempting to.
So Matt
they were
just
admitting it, but they hadn't actually done it.
It sounds like there was permission from you, but there was no permission from
Matt. Actually, given the permission.
So Matt had that's another column for him in the Daily Mail.
My drinks were spiked. Daily Mail, page 5. Date rape. With my wife.
Did I say I spiked the drinks.
Well, you gave permission to spike his drink is what you've just admitted.
Just that if anybody was listening from another country here, they think, why is Miss Piggy talking about her drink being spiked by Aileen?
I remember chatting to a fella, right?
Hello?
I was chatting to a fella and we were talking about somebody else. And this is so far removed you can never identify them. But I said, you know your man, that fella there that the two of us know? Yeah. Does he have a drink problem? And the fella sat back, the fella was asking, sat back and thought about it really seriously. And his answer was, do you know what? If he lived in any other country in the world except Ireland, yeah, he'd have a drink problem. But it was all right in Ireland. Because he lived in Ireland, yeah, it was an acceptable level of drink.
Listen, I really enjoying that. 087-4100-102. I mean, it's a little bit of an old story, but Owen made it new again. The way to turn down a drink this Christmas is, I've just had extensive brain surgery.
Yeah.
But I'm able to be here at the party,
I'm going to give Matt that tip because it'll be much easier for the future going
and
forward.
And by the way, do not spike people. Drinks, even though Matt Cooper is out there with not knowing what he's drinking.
Yeah.
We're going to take a commercial break now, and back after this, when I'm going to be throwing something into the roast. It's Panto and political correctness.
Mario Sunday Roast on Today FM with AvantCards.ie. Personalised loans, made for you pricing.
Welcome back to Mario's Sunday Roast. You've joined us mid-roast. I'm here with Aileen Hickey, barrister, and Owen McGee, financial planner. And we've got loads of texts into what should replace the ceremonial mace. St. Patrick's staff, Mario, was last housed in the church in Ballyboul, North County Dublin. It was stolen, the gems removed, and the wooden remains were burned. So there's no staff really left for the doll. Sorry. Mario, you could use a Clonakilty black pudding instead of the mace. Mario, a hurley. I knew that would come in. Mario, a ceremonial mace should be a hurley. Mario, a club. Club them all over the feckin' head. Bono sunglasses as a ceremonial mace. Evan in Dublin, or Ivan. Lads, in memory of politicians past, the ceremonial brown envelope would be fitting for the doll. That comes in from Al. Big black shillelagh and bait them around the head to keep order. Mario, comments on the doll. Mario, a Dubliner here who lives in Scotland, and you definitely don't want a parliament like Westminster. Disgraceful carry-on goes on down there with their old boys club. If you want inspiration, take it from the outward-looking Scottish parliament.
Okay.
I've never seen the Scottish Parliament. Anyway, here's what I'm throwing into the Sunday roast. I'm not really throwing it into the roast as in room 101 to be burned or anything, but it's just basically the subject of pantos. Because I was thinking the other day, I'm going to the two pantos this year, the Olympia and the Gaiety, and I'm bringing my 5 and 11 year old along. And I'm just thinking in the world we're currently living in, where do pantos sort of fit in? Or do they fit in anymore? Or more to the point, should they even fit in more than ever? I mean, here's some of the stories that I'm basing this on. Recently, Snow White and the Seven Dwarves had to change its name in England to Snow White and Her Seven Friends. Now, I don't know. I think I just nearly stopped there, right? Do you want to go and see Snow White and Her Seven Friends? Daddy, who are her seven friends? I don't like that. But anyway, the dwarf actors are enraged that someone is enraged on their behalf. So Warwick Davies, for example, the famous short actor, was saying he feels patronised. Why should they change the name to Snow White and the Seven Friends? That's patronising. And besides, you're putting dwarf actors out of work. Dwarf actors want to work just as much as anybody. Instead of bringing in children from the local schools to pretend they're dwarfs, or maybe not even pretend they're dwarfs, but just to be her friends. What the hell is Snow White without the dwarfs anyway?
Yeah.
So scotch that. Now, there have been recently calls to rename Father Christmas, Person Christmas. Okay? Mm-hmm. I'm out. Now, is Santa Claus gender fluid? Should Santa Claus be gender fluid? This is not the argument. Should we be having an argument about what Santa Claus's sexuality is in the first place? My argument would be no. Right, anyway. Dick Whittington was recently made gender fluid in a London production. Ugly sisters. You can't really do the ugly sisters anymore.
Body shaming, is it?
Well, it's body shaming and they've been cancelled. Hansel and Gretel can't be done because, well, obviously it, the children are abducted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, this is coming into the safe space thing. Cinderella looking for her prince. Clearly male patriarchy.
Mm-hmm. How about the Pied Piper of Hamelin? Well, would he have been allowed, like,
that's smoking,
lead a load of children wearing his multicoloured nightshirt? I mean, would they not have been checking
that's all about free-balling cocaine or something, is it?
I think it is, yeah, but there's no regard to clearance.
Sleeping Beauty, that's kiss with no consent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying, here's what my argument isn't. You can't say anything anymore. Political correctness has gone mad. I'm not making that point. I'm kind of just asking you, where do pantos fit in anymore, if not? Mm. Because at the same time as some of these pantos are going, Snow White and Her Seven Friends, you still have large fat men going around in dresses looking up each other's skirts.
on stage. Can we just go? Can we just go over what you're talking about on stage?
I'm
stage
the pantomime.
So I'm kind of going, where does the pantomime fit in? On the one hand, you've got a man in a skirt looking up another man's skirt, and then somebody going, he's behind you. I don't know. That's startling for the mental health people, of course, as well. You can't startle anybody anymore. So you can't say he's behind you. You can't come up and say. You can't say. You have to say he's beside you, and you can easily see him.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah.
If you say he's behind you to somebody, you're basically going, my mental health was compromised there, my friend. But anyway, listen, my point is, should children be protected from this stuff? Or should children be, in actual fact, just let the body humour exist, let the innuendo exist? And my other point is Pantone not the last refuge for these places? Mm-hmm. So, for example, let's say I believe in gender fluidity and I believe that you should express yourself in whatever sexual identity that you wish to be. Shouldn't that be something that the Panto takes the piss out of? Mm-hmm. Because surely that's what the Panto does. Anyway, sorry for ranting. I don't know. Please tell me your thoughts.
Well, I actually think the first thing I would say about this is that the Panto and all this political correctness, when the Panto specifically relates to kids and what are you exposing kids to? Now, I have 4 kids and my attitude to this is that my job is, I'm never going to be able to protect them from all the bad stuff in the world. So my job is to prepare them for how they react when this stuff happens. Mm. And I actually think the Panto is a great place for it to happen because the Panto is so clever with some of the stuff that it throws out that the adult in the room is sitting there going, that's brilliant. Mm. And it's gone up and over the child's head because it's pitched in such a way that if it's not appropriate for them, they don't get it. And I find there's sometimes you have the odd kind of, I wonder, was that one okay? For example, our school brought 246 kids to, funny enough, Mario, you said a minute ago, you're going to both Pantos, the Gaiety and the Olympia. There are other Pantos.
Oh, sorry,
out there.
Both the main ones. Oh my God, sorry.
They went to the
Sammy
Helix.
Sammy Sausages.
They went to the Helix. 246 to the Helix. They had an amazing time. All the kids came back from this is the primary school, obviously. They came back from the school, from us. The teachers thought it was great. But then the discussion came up that they took a JCB and they knocked down a Lidl or an Aldi, whatever it was, right? During the Panto.
Oh, God.
That's super.
And I'm kind of going, what do I think about that now? I'm not sure. Yeah, but you know what? If you're going to do that anywhere, Panto is the place to do it.
Well, you see, you know where I come out of this is, you know, it's okay not to be offended by everything, you know, and, you know, there's a huge element here of kind of Panto McCarthyism, you know, which is, you know, take it to a new level. And that's extended now right through all the fairy tales. I mean, you know, it's kind of like, does the wolf fully transition in Little Red Riding Hood? I mean, what happens next? You know,
transitioning wolf.
The transitioning wolf.
Brilliant.
I mean, he was clearly like he was trying on the gear. So does he fully transition after that? And, you know, there's Jack and the Beanstalk, all the health and safety issues that go along with that. And there's, you know, the ugly duckling and body shaming. And, you know,
Texter wants to know, do you try on all the gear, Aileen?
I try on an awful lot of gear.
Okay, we're going to leave it there. I'll basically put it out to the listeners of Mario Sunday Roast 0874100102. I mean, is there anything in what I'm even discussing? I'm not putting something into the roast as such. I'm just going, is it appropriate or not appropriate for Pantos, you know, to carry on? Sorry, Owen.
Just actually, Mario, one of the things I'm going to do this morning, if you're going to finish up on this, I want to talk to you about my new show.
Oh, go on then.
How to Be Good With Money. RTE1. 8:30, Thursday the 10th of January, just when you're broke. We're all going to talk about money. 6 weeks, 1:30, RTE1. 8:30, RTE1 on the 10th of January.
No problem at all, Owen. And we're going to play out, actually, with how a Panto should not be done in this modern day. And that is Ricky Gervais in Extras. And this is definitely how it should not be done.
Blimey, what a big puff.
Cheeky.
Who are you?
Well, I'll be anyone you want me to be, but you can call me Genie.
How does somebody as big as you fit into this tiny lamp?
Don't worry about it. I'm used to squeezing myself into tight holes.
Oh, no pain, no gain.
Can you help us? We're in danger. The evil Abenazer is after us.
What makes you think that?
We heard him say he wants to get Aladdin.
Don't we all?